Readings taken from 1 Peter in chapter 1. 1 Peter in chapter 1. And there's one word in this chapter that was also in Psalm 16. And that's what I would like us to think about today, this morning. So we'll read 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. what the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May the Lord bless that reading of his holy word. The word that was in Psalm 16 and the word that's here, well, there was two words actually, but the one I want us to think about is the word inheritance. Inheritance. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. The Christian has an inheritance. The Christian has something to look forward to. We don't have it in our hands, but it's certainly in our heart. It's there. And we don't really have an inheritance, humanly speaking, unless someone dies. Well, someone has died, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we get our inheritance from. And that's what the psalmist says here. But he said in verse 11, "Thou shalt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Joy and pleasures always go together. But only human beings can experience pleasures and joy. It's only between human beings. You might love and get great joy and the fullness of great pleasure watching a sunrise or a sunset. You may have the joy and the pleasure, but it doesn't do anything for the sunset. I picked a rose this morning for Irene and for myself. Now we get joy and we get pleasure out of looking at this and smelling it. But it doesn't do any good for the rose. In fact, our joy and our pleasure is the death of the rose. Because as soon as it was cut, it was dead. So there's the joy and there's the fullness. And it has to be mutual. It has to be mutual. Persecutors get great joy of doing things to people, but the people that are persecuted don't have joy. So joy and pleasure has to be mutual. And the psalmist here is talking about this mutual joy. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 147. Psalm 147, it speaks about this mutual joy. Psalm 147 and verse 11. "The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." And then in Psalm 149 and verse 4, again it says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." You see, it's got to be mutual. The psalmist says here, "I'll be full of joy, and I'll be full of pleasure." And the scripture again tells us that the Lord takes joy in us. One of my favourite verses, and it's hard to believe really, it's taken from Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. It talks here about the mutual joy. "The Lord my God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save and he will rejoice over thee with joy. And he will rest in his love and he will joy over thee with singing." So that's our inheritance. Our inheritance is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And it's only because He has pleasure in us. The psalmist reminds us there that he will take pleasure in me. He will take pleasure in you. That's why he came into this world, because he loved you. He loves me. And he wants our company. God wants our company. That's why God said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God wants our company. And he wants our company all the time. But turn it round. How often are we out of God's company when we think of other things? But the psalmist says here, there's a time coming, my dear friends, and it's coming shortly, because we're in the last days and things are happening. Anarchy everywhere. We are in the last times, the Bible tells us this, and we have this to look forward to. Joy and pleasures forevermore. It's impossible, my dear friends, to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and not to have pleasure. It's impossible to be in the presence of God the Father and not have joy. Do you have joy today? We're here in a place of worship. God has been gracious to us. People are suffering all over the world. There's no such places, things as churches, as congregations. And yet here we are this morning. I hope we're sitting in comfort. Because I'm standing in comfort. Well, not really, but I'm standing anyway. But you see, this inheritance that the psalmist here says, I've got an inheritance. But that inheritance is the Lord. He who in the beginning of time said, let there be. He who in the start of John's Gospel was there with the Father. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same person, and he is a person. The three persons in the Trinity are persons. They're not just spirits, they are persons, because it talks about he, it talks about them, it talks about I. And as I said before, you can't have joy and pleasures with an inanimate thing. It has to be with another person. And it has to be with the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. This is what the psalmist is saying here. This is where my joy and my fullness of pleasures comes forevermore. It comes from him. And the heading I've got here before us is this. He's mine today. He's mine today. He's mine forever. That's a good heading. Are you able to say that? That he's yours today? If he's yours today, he's yours forever. For Jesus Christ himself says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 16, the Shulamite says, my beloved is mine. She's talking to other people, and she says, my beloved is mine. And I'm also his. That's why she could call him her beloved, the one she loved. And I can say this morning that he is mine. He belongs to me. And I belong to him. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian, my dear friends. What a wonderful thing it is to have this assurance that the moment my eyes close and the moment my heart stops to beat, I'm absent from my body and I'm present with my Lord. Instantly. Instantly, I say. No waiting time. We're waiting now. But then, it's absent from the body, present from the Lord. And this must be this Christian's swan song, as it were. And we wait for nothing that is essential to our walk with God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and following, there the Lord says, come unto me, all ye who labour, and I will give. I will give. It's not that we will find. It's I will give. There's many things that Christ will give us. I've just written down four. Come unto me and I will give. Are you looking for peace? John chapter 14 verse 27 tells us there, I will give you peace. My peace I give unto you. There's no peace in the world. There never was peace in the world. And there never will be peace in the world. Peace can only be found in the one who is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. That's his name in Isaiah, the Prince of Peace. There's a relative peace. There's peace at times. But not a lasting peace. So come unto me, he says, and I'll give you. You're looking for peace? I'll give it to you. Are you looking for joy? John chapter 15 and verse 11, he tells us there that he has come that we might have his joy and that our joy might be full. My dear friends, there's no half measures with the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his all. And he gives us all. Come unto me. You want peace? You want joy? Well, I'll give you that peace and I'll give you that joy. Do you want perseverance? How am I going to carry on? With the state of the world today, how am I going to... Will I manage to be there? The Bible said, is there going to be faith when he comes back again? Will I have faith when he comes back again? Will I have faith when he comes for me? Of course we will. There'll be faith on this earth when Christ returns, because he says those who are left will be caught up into the air. So there will be faith here when Christ comes back again. If there was no faith when Christ comes back again, then Satan has won. The world is his. But there will be faith, because he gives us this faith. I give them eternal life, and in that eternal life is faith. Will I persevere? Of course I'll persevere. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Yes, I'll have faith when Christ calls for me or when he comes back again. My faith is secure. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. We are a privileged people, my dear friends. No other religion can say what we can say. No other religion can tell you that they're going to a place with, well, some of them think they're going to paradise. It's not paradise they're going on, my friend, I'll tell you. It's not paradise. The only paradise there is that speaks in the Bible is the one that's spoken in the Bible and it's spoken in the Old Testament. Perseverance? Yes, we'll persevere. I'm safe. Safe to the end, my dear friends. I may have a weak faith, but I have faith. And And it's not my faith. It's the faith that God has given me. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, my friend. We will persevere. You want peace? Look to Christ. You want joy? Look to Christ. You want to persevere? Look to Christ. One of the things that many Christians lack, and I can't understand how it is about, but many Christians lack assurance. Am I or am I not? But John chapter 10 verse 27 tells us, I give you eternal life. You've got it. You're not waiting on it. You've got it. The moment God gives us that gift of faith, then we have the eternal life. And it's an eternal life that cannot be lost, because eternity cannot finish. When God breathed into man, he became an eternal soul. The soul will never die, never ever die. The body will go, yes. But they will be reunited on that day when Christ comes back again, when the trumpet sounds and he sends out his angels into the four corners of the earth to collect his people. And as I said in my prayer, Paul says that he's going to change this vile body and change it into the his likeness of his glorious body. He didn't have a glorious body when he was being tried. He didn't have a glorious body when they nailed him to the tree. He didn't have a glorious body when they laid him in the tomb. And he didn't have a glorious body when he rose again, because he still had the marks of his death. But when he ascended to sit at the right hand of his Father, he had a glorious body. That's why he says he'll change ours to be like unto his. Peace and joy and perseverance and assurance. He's mine today. And it's mine forever. And because the Lord is the portion of our inheritance, we can safely say with Peter, my inheritance is and will always be incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and it's set aside in the most secure of places, that's in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. No one can touch it. No one can touch it. You notice he says there, it's incorruptible. There is nothing in my inheritance within that would corrupt. It's undefiled. There's nothing without my inheritance that can corrupt it, that can defile it. And it's unfading. It will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God has set it aside, reserved in heaven. Listen to the Revelation chapter 21 and verses 25 and 27. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And there shall will in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor worketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's how secure it is. It also goes on to tell us that there's 12 gates. Now it's figurative. But it says here, it has 12 gates, and the 12 gates are 12 pearls, and the gates are never shut. Did you lock your doors when you come out this morning? Why did you lock your doors? Because you can trust no one. Watch out, watch out, there's a Humphrey about. But it tells us here, this is why it's incorruptible, undefiled, and it will not fade away, because it's in a place where nothing that defiles can enter. Now when we read Pilgrim's Progress, it talks about there about the gates being shut, and when they go across the water, the gates are opened into the celestial city, and then they're shut again. I would say it's talking about security now. But then, when Christ takes charge of his heaven, when he takes charge of all his people, when he takes charge of his bride, there is no need for security. For heaven is secure in Christ. My inheritance is eternal life in the flesh, which is spent in eternity in the presence of the eternal God. Eternal life in the flesh, that's the new body. At death, our spirit, our soul goes to be with God, awaiting that day when the spirit and the flesh come together again, and we enjoy eternal life in the flesh, spent in eternity in the presence of the eternal God. What an inheritance. This is our inheritance we're talking about. We're not talking about pie in the sky. We're talking about things that are real. And you should be enjoying them today. Not waiting for his second return when we'll have the fullness of joy, but we should have this joy today and this pleasure that we are in his company now, where two or three are gathered together. We know it's talking about sin before he says that, but where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst. God himself is in our midst in the form of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my dear friends, what a privilege to be a Christian. What a privilege to be saved. What a privilege to know that I have an inheritance and that he is the inheritance. Psalm 47, verse 4 tells us there that the Lord will choose our inheritance. Psalm 47, verse 4, the Lord will choose our inheritance. And who was that speaking about? That's speaking about God the Father, surely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. God has chosen our inheritance, and that's his Son. So Psalmist tells us in Psalm 47 that it's the Father who chooses our inheritance. Psalm 16 verse 5, the Lord is our inheritance. That's speaking about the Son, surely. John chapter 6 and verse 40. John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me. That's a God, the Father sending the Son, choosing our inheritance, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. That's Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Psalm 94 verse 14, it tells us there that the Lord will not forsake his inheritance. And who's it speaking about there? Obviously, to me, it's speaking about the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said it's imperative that I go, for if I do not go, then the Holy Spirit will not come. But if we send the Holy Spirit, he will be with you and he will be in you. The Holy Spirit's in us. So Psalm 47 speaks about the Father. Psalm 16 verse 5 speaks about the Son. And Psalm 94 verse 14 to me speaks about the Holy Spirit. John 14 and 17. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, and he will dwell with you, and he shall be in you. When the psalmist is talking about our inheritance, he's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why it's secure. He's mine today, and he's mine forever. And can you say that he's mine today and mine forever? Four quick things. What we must do. If we don't have this today, then this is what we must do. And if we do have it, this is what we must still do. 1 Peter 1:3. Sorry, 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the revelation there is speaking about his appearing, but it can also be taken about him. As we read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. It talks here about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, or it's the beginning of the gospel from Jesus Christ. So when it talks here about the revelation of Jesus, yes, it's talking there about his appearing, but it's also talking about him. And something that they must do, and we must continue to do, is to listen carefully. First Peter 1:13. Be sober and hope for the end of the grace that has been to be brought unto you. Gird up your loins and your mind and be sober. We've got to listen carefully. The unsaved, I would tell them, listen to carefully. Jesus says on a number of occasions, take care of what you hear. There are many voices in the world today. We need to be sure it's the right voice that we listen to. If we listen to it from the scriptures, then it's the right voice. So the first thing we need to do, even as Christians, we need to listen carefully. We're not saved and then left until the day he comes back. Peter tells us at the end of his second letter that you should grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how are you going to grow unless you listen to what he says? So the first thing is we need to listen carefully. That's what Peter's saying here. Secondly, we need to accept faithfully. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of the God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've got to accept faithfully that it's the blood of Jesus that makes an atonement for the soul. It's not by works of righteousness. It's the blood. And this is what Peter is saying here, he mentions the blood. Be obedience to the blood. 1 John 1:7, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. So we don't have to just listen carefully to what Christ is saying. We've got to accept faithfully what he says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We must accept faithfully what the Bible says concerning salvation. It's the blood. And then 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We've got to rely totally. We've got to listen carefully, we've got to accept faithfully, and we've also got to rely totally on his blood. Again, I'll say it, and I'll never get tired of saying it. It's not by works of righteousness that we do. It's according to his blood. Leviticus chapter 17, Anyway, it's Leviticus where God says, I have given you the blood upon the altar, and it's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So we've got to rely totally on him. I'm saved through him, and by him, and for him. I could not save myself. I would not have wanted to save myself, because I was happy in my sin. Because the Bible said there is pleasure in sin. We know it's only for a season. But didn't we enjoy smoking at times? Didn't we enjoy getting drunk? Didn't we enjoy going to parties? Of course we did. Because these are the things of the world. And I couldn't break the habit until the Lord Jesus Christ came. So we have got to listen, and we've got to accept, and we've got to rely totally on him. And lastly, we've got to wait patiently. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes through, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory when at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We've got to wait patiently. Now, do you believe that there's such a thing as holy impatience? Do you think that's possible? That someone can have holy impatience? Well, I think I've got it. Because I'm at times impatient about the second coming of Christ. I want Christ to come back. And I would say that's holy impatience. And I wonder if the Lord's got holy impatience. Because he's longing to come back. Because he's longing for his bride. He's longing for his church. He's longing for his people. So I think there is such a thing as holy impatience. And I think if we don't have holy impatience, then there's something wrong. But we must ask ourselves this question. Why have we got holy impatience? Why do we want the Lord to come back? Is it because I'm old and infirm? Is it because of all the problems in the world today? Is it because I've got this disease and I can't get rid of it? That's not holy impatience. The holy impatience is this. I want to see him. As John tells us in his first epistle in chapter 3. We don't know what we're going to be, but we know this. That we're going to see him. And we're going to be like him. That's holy impatience. We want him to come back because we want him. Not to do and to deal with our enemies and to deal with the world. Oh yes, we want that. But we want to see him. My friends, today, and time is gone. But are you longing to see Jesus? I don't know what he looks like. There's been many paintings and there's been many sort of photographs of what the Lord looks like. He doesn't look like any of them. No one knows on this earth what the Lord Jesus Christ looks like. But there's a time coming when every one of his people will know what he looks like. Because we'll see him as he is. The glorious Saviour. the only begotten Son of God, the Eternal One, the One who laid down His life for sinners. We'll see Him. See Him. Yes, we'll see Him. And I would tell you that's holy impatience. Longing to see and to be with Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And that's why the psalmist here could say that the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, I'll have that and God will have it. Because the other two psalms that I read tells us that He will have that as well. It's got to be mutual. And it will be mutual for everyone who is blood bought. Oh, my dear friends, that's holy impatience, as I say. Maybe there's not such a thing, but I think there is because I've got it. Have you got it? Let's pray.